It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate each and every one of you listeners. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You have a purpose. Live with intention. And you were made for this day. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. And that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Thursday to you, producer Steve.
Well, thank you. No, now that you've taken attendance, yes. Happy Thursday.
For sure. And to be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests and our most recent podcasts and op-eds. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. As we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, if something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. You should be able to persuade them. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. Socialism is not about free stuff. Free stuff is actually the carrot that gets you to vote for people that institute socialism and as their ideology in our government. Then ultimately, though, there has to be producers. And the real question is, and this is the question of the American founding, and that is, who owns the fruits to your labor? Is it you? Or is it government or some bureaucratic institution? And that is this big ideological battle that we are in today. And it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether it's their rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy and unpredictable taxation, fear, or the new one that we are seeing big time right now is coercion, producer Steve.
Yes, and I should have the details. I don't, because so much goes past me in the morning while I'm getting ready for this this hour. But somebody somewhere in one state hit it big. You know, they had this lottery, I guess, if you want to call it that. And I guess this particular person
was hit this
it.
For the vaccine.
Yeah, she hit $1 million.
Because she got the vaccine. And this is
And we
this
know what
coercion.
United Airlines is doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, coercion is another one. Hey, while you're talking about, you know, the government, I'm thinking there's another four-letter word, government.
True that. We are calling them PBIs. They're politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. And we are in such a war of language right now. I no longer call people that are elected officials or elected leaders. They are elected representatives, and they are supposed to represent us. And what has happened is because many of them want to get reelected, they abdicate the hard decisions to staff, whether or not it's city staff, county staff, or, of course, state. We see this bureaucracy growing significantly by all of the bills that we have that are being passed and either signed into law or the bill of the day today. Governor Polis is not going to sign it. He's not going to veto it. And if that happens, then it just becomes law automatically. But before we get to that, first of all, we're coming in on Memorial Day. And I encourage each and every one of us to encourage our sphere of influence to stop on this Memorial Day. And granted, it's become sales and barbecues, which is super frustrating to you, producer Steve. But let's stop and pause and think about those that gave their lives so that we could live in liberty. And liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. And this week's guest is Aaron Peterson, and he flew Chinook helicopters in Afghanistan. And this is the first interview he's ever given. And it'll stop you in your tracks when you hear the story about his best friend. And I would so encourage you to listen to that. It's 3 to 4 p.m. on Sunday. They rebroadcast at 10 to 11 p.m. Super powerful, Steve.
It was, and you could hear he was not a blubbering mess, but you could hear the emotion in his voice as he was recounting that. And again, it's sacrifice that so many people just can't even get their head around it. And like you just said, you tip my hat. I'm just worried that there's, the population that's 21 and younger, they just don't have a clue. And, they're TV junkies and they hear all these Memorial Day sale things. And do they understand what's behind it?
Well, and that is why we do this show. And that is why it is so important. And just a quick note, one of my great sponsors that sponsors both of the shows is Hooters Restaurants. And they have 5 locations. And that is, it's Westminster, Aurora, Loveland, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they have all kinds of specials. Wednesdays are exceptionally special because it's Wednesday Wings Day. You buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free, and that's for to-go and to dine in. But they have Kids Eat Free specials. The Avalanche are in the playoffs, which is so exciting. So it's great to get together with friends either at Hooters and watch the games, or you can certainly pick something up to go, or you can use one of the delivery services and have it delivered to your front door. But I really appreciate them because they sponsor both of the shows. And this America's Veterans Stories, it's super powerful. It's something that has just become something that's on my heart, and I am just honored to get to do that, Steve.
I'm sorry, I was talking to Karen.
That's okay. Let's very quickly do our inspiration wisdom of the day, and then very quickly again the bill of the day, just so that you know about that. But I chose this the quote for today because we're talking to Hal Van Herkey in the third and fourth segment about forced minimum wage. And Thomas Sowell is an American economist. He was born in 1930. He's a social theorist and senior fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. He was born in North Carolina. He grew up in Harlem, New York. And he dropped out of school, served in the Marine Corps in the Korean War, and then he came back, enrolled in Harvard, and got his master's from Columbia and his doctorate in economics from the University of Chicago in 1968. And he said, the most fundamental fact about the ideas of the political left is that they do not work. Therefore, we should not be surprised to find the left concentrated in institutions where ideas do not have to work in order to survive.
I love that guy.
I know it. And you know what? When I was talking to a young student, this was several years ago, who was studying at CSU. And in their economics class, they were studying Paul Krugman, who is, one of the big government economists. I said, were you studying Thomas Sowell at all? And you know what their answer was? Who's Thomas Sowell? Can you believe that? And that is why when we're talking about all this money for education, for higher education, I think we really need to revisit that. But quickly, the bill of the day, and it has bipartisan support and bipartisan support of a couple of guys I like, and that's Tim Geithner and Larry Liston. They're both Republicans, and then Representative Byrd and Senator Pedersen on the Democrat side. It's House Bill 21-1051. It's called the Public Information Applicants for Public Employment. And basically what it does is it changes when they have their pool of people that they're choosing from to hire for example, at universities, or it could be city councils or whatever. Normally they would have to be transparent about the people that they were considering for employment. And now they only have to be transparent about the person that they hire. And the Fort Morgan Times has an excellent piece in, and basically it's titled, The Governor Ushers in Secret Hires. And so, again, when I say that the left is playing long ball, they are. And this is something that they talked a couple of our guys into getting on this as well. And this is really detrimental to transparency in our government. And again, that is House Bill. House Bill. Whoops. There we go. What did I say? 1051. That's House Bill 21, 1051. Karen Levine is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And I know that she thinks that transparency in government is super important. She serves on the National Board of Realtors as a director. And also, she's very involved in both the Colorado Association of Realtors and on the local level in working with government. So, Karen Levine, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here this morning, Kim.
And I know that you think transparency is super important.
Well, it is super important. And I think when you start to feel like the wool is being pulled over your eyes, it causes a lot of suspicion and distrust.
Well, exactly. And you are doing so much work, Karen Levine, on both the local, state, and national level to protect private property rights, because we've talked about it. And the wool was kind of over my eyes for a long time. It was like these policies don't seem like they're really supporting people in home ownership. But then I started to figure out through public policy, they're pushing people into apartments. We see all these apartments being built. And you are working diligently to make sure that we have a mix of housing that people want, not a mix of housing that government wants.
Correct. I think the challenge is that you have the policy side, the staff side of any organization who has been educated and directed into creating these environments. And then you have the public consumer side who says that I want this. And so through incentives and tax structure and policy, et cetera, things are being done that are not the word synchronized with what the people want. And we all sit back and say, well, how did this happen? And it happens because of those who we elect, those we empower, and then, I hate to say it, kind of what you were talking about in your quote, and those we hire, or the bill of the day, and mm-hmm. those we hire. So we just need to be more knowledgeable, more aware of the things that are affecting housing nationwide, and speak up and protect the things that we want as far as single-family housing and neighborhoods. And I know many of your guests have talked about the safety of suburbia and that we don't see that in our urban communities. And now it seems to be the push is to urbanize all of us.
Right. So instead of exporting crime to other neighborhoods, how about let's import into neighborhoods community safety? I think that would be a good idea. We are in the spring selling season. I know inventory is super tight. And Karen, I know you're super busy. I know people are calling you because you have so much experience and you're so trusted. And I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, well, I don't really need to care about who I work with because I'm probably going to get more than I want for my house anyway. And that's probably true, except it costs you money when you don't work with professionals who are actually representing your best interests. That's why people should give you a call, Karen Levine.
Well, I thank you for saying that, Kim. And yes, it's the spring selling season, but we're never too busy to take care of your callers, your listeners, because we want to make sure they're getting good representation and that they understand the purchase that they're making. Because of things that are happening in the marketplace, it's very confusing and it's hard to understand because it is an unusual set of circumstances in the negotiations, in the putting together of your offer, or whether you're putting your home on the market, the strategy of how you market your home. And yes, it feels like you put a sign up in your yard and that house is gone in 48, 72 hours. That's true, but we're seeing many homes come back on the market because the contracts weren't written well and buyers are getting buyer's remorse. And there's just a lot of challenges. We call it a lot of turbulence that takes place in a real estate transaction. And this market has created just a lot of different turbulence that we handle very, very well on your behalf. And our job is to make sure that we advocate for our clients and make sure that they're well-informed and can make good decisions.
Well, that's very important. And Karen Levine, how can people reach you?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516.
Again, that's 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
And we'll be right back with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity, as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. She is a radiologist. So her work is she helps save women's lives by detecting breast cancer. She's also a healthcare expert or policy expert and was one of the few people that read the Complete Unaffordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare and the PPACA. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
And we did something really fun just a week ago, and that was our candid COVID conversations. We put together a panel. You were on healthcare, Matt Durkin on crime, Priscilla Ron on education, and Sue Kinfield on mental well-being. Ramey Johnson, who is a Lakewood City Councilwoman, was the co-host on that. And we had technical live difficulties, but we recorded it, and people can still go to the website and purchase a ticket to watch that. But it was really important information, and granted, we had the live challenges, but over on the recorded side, I'm hearing people really appreciate the perspective of you four panelists.
I thought it was a well-rounded conversation because it really you talked about the medical aspects and then the kind of law and order aspects, criminal justice kind of aspects, emotional support, education, how it's affecting kids and schools, and it was a really well-rounded approach.
Right. And so people can go to Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and you can purchase a ticket to watch that online. Next thing, Jill, give us an update regarding these two little girls that you're trying to get here from Africa for medical care.
There's not much to report. Things are still happening, but there's no conclusion yet. So I'll keep you posted on that, but there really isn't. We're still working on. We're going to have to reapply for visa. Excuse me. We're going to have to reapply for visas. The one little girl that is starving, she can't hold food down well. We've got her into a program with a private couple that fosters a lot of children, and so hopefully we can start to work out her if she's got food issues, like a food intolerance kind of stuff, or whatever, but she had more testing at the a hospital in Kinshasa, the capital. And the healthcare is better there, but still far below what we have here. But they did a bunch of testing recently and still don't know what's happening with her. So, you know, we're trying to get them care to some extent while they're still kind of trapped in the Congo. So we can get them here. But I still have a lot of hope that we can get at least one of the girls here.
Well, I pray that you can get both of the girls here to help them. Let's jump over here, Jill. When I talk about the different forces out there, and of course there's weapons and there's taxation, how people take stuff, weapons, taxation, fear is a new one, but now we are seeing coercion. We are seeing that basically the government is pushing corporations to coerce people to get the coronavirus, Wuhan, China virus vaccine in order that people can use their services. Yesterday, we talked about United Airlines. They are having a lottery and giving away, I think, like a limited travel to somebody or whoever wins that lottery. And so in a way, yes, it's a choice. People can decide whether or not they want to get the vaccine or not. But I can see us going down this road now of if you don't have the vaccine, then you can't access services. And the PBIs are hiding behind this saying, oh, it's a free market that the businesses can decide yes or no. Not so much. This is kind of like back in the segregation days or back in Nazi Germany where Jews had to wear a yellow star. Quickly, what's your thoughts on that, Jill?
Well, and it always starts off with incentive, right? It always starts off, here's a bonus for you. And it very quickly deteriorates to, if you don't, either you do it or else. It's frightening that there seems to be so much cooperation, if not coordination, between public and private. They're really pushing hard on ads on radio, and I'm getting, you know, when you're on your computer, some ad will pop up if you're watching YouTube videos or something. I'm getting a lot of ads in, you know, for Hispanics and focusing on blacks, people of color, to get the vaccine, and they're pushing hard, pushing hard, pushing hard. And then the CDC comes out today, I guess, saying, yeah, well, if you've had the vaccine, then you don't have to wear a mask, thinking that that's going to incentivize everyone to get the vaccine. Problem is they can't enforce it. What are you going to go after?
Well, that's the next
papers? Is that what we're talking about?
That's the next thing. I was at one of the office supply stores last week, and I looked down, and they now are selling a little lanyard that you can put your vaccine card in. And I thought, okay, we see what's coming down the pike
here,
and it is terrifying. We'll talk again about this next week, but people need to realize that this has not been approved by the FDA yet. And I'm all for people having their free choice, but I'm so frustrated with this coercion. Dr. Jill Vecchio, I so appreciate all the hard work that you're doing. And again, this panel, people can watch that at kimmunson.com. So thanks so much, Jill. We'll talk to you next week.
Great. Take care.
And Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. Coercion, we are seeing that big time in America today. And we always talk about when people come in to do either an annuity check with you or a risk assessment or take a look at their financial plan, that you do not coerce people, that you actually are for freedom and free markets and have honest conversations about that. Jason McBride.
Well, that's true, Kim. You know, I don't think that using high-pressure sales tactics is a good way to start a relationship with your customer that you're going to hope will be a customer for many, many, many years. So it's kind of like starting off a relationship with your wife or your girlfriend by cheating on her on the first date. They're not going to forget that.
No, they're not going to forget that. And with all this craziness that's going on, we're seeing inflation. I am seeing it in a variety of different ways. And that's probably one of the most difficult things. Well, that and excessive and unpredictable taxation. And under this Harris-Biden-Rice administration, both of those things are at the forefront. And they're difficult to work around. That's why people need to sit down and assess their risk, look at their plan. These annuity checkups that you're doing are super helpful as well, Jason.
Well, I think they are. You know, those two things, Kim. One, you know, if you don't have a plan down on paper, then, and some people don't have one and don't need it, but a lot of people really prefer to have that, and it's helpful for them to see what they need to do to get where they want to go and to be able to refer back to it occasionally to gauge their progress. And a lot of us like to kind of see a visual goal, and it makes us more apt to try and do the things we need to do to get there. And, darn, Kim, I don't remember the second thing you mentioned. Already slipped out of my head.
Oh, my gosh. And that is doing these annuity checkups as well.
Oh, yes.
Those are super helpful also.
Yes, very much. Sometimes annuities can get a bad rap, and admittedly, sometimes there's some different moving parts to them, which if you bought one years ago, it's unlikely you're going to remember every little thing about it. So people come in for the checkups, and I find they generally leave happier than when they came in, and generally actually happy with the annuity product they own once they understand how it works.
Well, and that's great. And so for people to reach you, they can reach you at 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. Jason, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
And we'll be right back with Hal Van Herkey.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. As we search for truth and clarity and look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And I get to work with some really great sponsorship partners. And one of those is on the line. Hal Van Herkey and his wife are entrepreneurs. His wife, Linnea, they own Castlegate Knife and Tool. And it's great to have you on the show, Hal. And we're going to be talking in just a bit about forced minimum wage. But as we're coming into Memorial Day weekend, you are doing something so special. Tell our listeners what that is.
Yeah, thank you, Kim. At Castlegate, we support a number of nonprofit organizations that we feel that we have a special affinity for, that we feel is important for our community. And one of those that's very important is National Honor Tour, which is nationalhonortour.org. And National Honor Tour is dedicated to honoring the memory of those who have served our country and either had fallen in battle or who have passed away as veterans. And their main focus is to make sure that anybody who's ever, that any funeral service for a veteran is attended by a live bugler. There are one of a couple of organizations that do that in the country. But they also spend a lot of time honoring veterans at ceremonies. They'll be at the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor this year. They'll be at Gettysburg this year for 100 Nights of Gettysburg. Over Memorial Day weekend, they've for the seventh year in a row now, they're playing taps for any family that wanted it at Fort Logan National Cemetery in Colorado. And they're up to over 400 different requests over the three-day weekend. And then there's also an additional 150-plus that have asked to be on the honor roll, which are buried somewhere else. So those names all get read at once. And so we're happy to sponsor that, but I'm very honored to be able to participate this year. I used to play trumpet in my youth, and I've been practicing for over a year to be able to support this organization live. So I'm going to be an additional bugler this year because they have grown more than what their current staff could have done. So I'm excited about that. And you can check it out at nationalhonortour.org. It's a great way to honor not only the sacrifice that our soldiers made, but that their families have made. And this year, there's going to be over 200 families attending gravesite at those various moments that we play taps, and that member's service anthem for them upon request. So very excited about that. And it's all a donation and nonprofit 501c3 driven type organization.
I just got chills thinking about that. What a special thing that you're doing, and how you are a veteran and really appreciate our veterans. And Castlegate Knife and Tool, you offer a discount to all of our military and our veterans and our first responders all day, every day at Castlegate Knife and Tool. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we do. If you come into the store, we offer 10% off of anything that we sell. All day, any day, for veterans or current military service members, as well as first responders, and just part of our way to give back to the community. So we're very happy to do that. And if you want to take advantage of that over our website, you need to contact us to get a one-time use code that we'll give you so that we don't have other people using that discount that haven't earned it. But you just contact us via email or on social media, and we'll give you a one-time use code to get your 10% discount on the website.
Okay, well, I so appreciate that. And Castlegate Knife and Tool is really a great place to do your shopping for wedding gifts or for Father's Day. And check out, again, that's castlegate.com, castlegate.com.
Okay, go.
Hal Van Herke, you are an entrepreneur, a small businessman, and there's been such an assault on small business here in Colorado. And we had talked recently about a forced minimum wage, one of the last times you were on the show. And you really were able to explain to people how the radical left sells this as something that is compassionate, a forced minimum wage. But when you really drill down on it, it is anything but compassionate. Explain that to our listeners, Hal.
Yeah, and I think today, if we had a little bit more time, then we just happened to mention it last time. But I'll try to break it down a little bit more for everybody. But thanks again for having me on and for getting the chance to do this, because I do think it's important. I do believe that small business is under assault right now, and it's not by accident. It's by a combination of leftist, large government values, and in some cases, it's actually Marxist-driven, where they'd like to see private industry and small business fail to be taken over by government. But there's also just an enormous amount of ignorance in our society and lack of knowledge about how small business operates. You know, the bottom line is, unless you've actually owned a small business, you probably don't know much about small business. We don't teach it in school. You don't learn it in high school or middle school. They don't even teach it in business school. 90 to 95% of all classes that are involved in business school are aimed at having you be in a large business, large corporate business, corporate finance, corporate accounting, corporate operations, things like that. So the entrepreneurship colleges and majors are few and far between. So we just have a general lack of knowledge about small business, and that's certainly the case when you get to politicians and people and journalists who have never given it a second thought. So our society's entire view of what small business is really driven by Hollywood and driven by the media, which is, you know, really exaggerated view. So I'll explain why this is important as we're talking about, you know, forced minimum wage. A couple of things to keep in mind is that the average small business is actually very small. The majority of businesses that are operating are part-time businesses, and the majority of those don't even make a profit at all. They actually lose money. Of the businesses that do make a profit, the average profit for a small business in the United States is 6%. Everything else goes back into the business to pay for overhead and employees and materials, et cetera. So to put that in perspective, if you have a business that's $1 million business, and people say, oh, wow, you have $1 million business that's earning $1 million a year, you must be rich. That means mm-hmm. you're making $60,000 a year. If you can take that out of the business, and usually if your business is growing 50% or more, that's going right back into the business. So the reality is most of the small businesses that you think about, they're making less money than you do if you have a decent job. That's one aspect. And the second thing is that the average small business only has a few months worth of cash in their reserves. And we saw this during COVID, if they can't sell for a couple of weeks even, or if they can't operate for 2 months, they're out of business. They don't have this massive stockpile of cash that Hollywood would want you to think they have.
Hey, Hal, on that note, during this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, I heard people that did not lose their job, that were working for a large corporation, that they would say that with almost disdain regarding these small businesses, well, didn't they plan ahead 2 months? Didn't they plan ahead and they should be able to survive that? What would you say to that?
Yeah, I think that's another one of the common misperceptions. And when we get back to forced minimum wage, I'll explain why each of these things we've been talking about is an important foundation for that. But absolutely, like I just said a few minutes ago, the average small business only has a few months of cash in reserve. And the reason for that is, I guess the best way to explain it, it's just like most families in the U.S. that are trying to just make ends meet paycheck to paycheck and mortgage to mortgage. Most small businesses are in the exact same boat. They're just trying to make payroll to payroll, or make rent payments 1 month to the next. And with the average profit being only 6%, it takes quite some time for a business to save up a cash reserve. And a lot of times each business owner is having to decide, okay, do I buy that new piece of equipment? Do I hire somebody? Do I advertise more? Or do I put that money away for a rainy day? And so it does take a number of, a lot of businesses a long time to save up any kind of cash reserve. And the average in the U.S. is just only a few months. So it makes perfect sense that if you're down for 2 weeks, that could put a big ding into that. Or if you're down for 2 or 3 months, that you may be out of business. And I heard a lot of comments about, greedy business owners just not wanting to keep their business open for their employees to return. But, the reality is that they just don't have the money. They had to sell off everything they had in order to keep putting food on their table, because they also were out of unemployed and out of work.
So it's really uncompassionate through this whole COVID-19 reaction disruption that policymakers, and that's your PBIs, your politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, shut down some businesses and then said, oh, these others could stay open. That was beyond me, Hal Van Herkey.
Yeah, I think that's part of the leftist drive toward control in the U.S. I don't think that was an accident at all. If your goal is to have huge, gigantic government, then your companion goal to that is to have a reduced middle class and reduced number of small businesses. You want to have these large, global, major corporations that you can influence or that you can control. Through relationships and through backroom meetings, et cetera, or through threats and intimidation. So big government goes right along with big corporations. A lot of people have that backwards, but they need each other to really seize power and to continue to feed on each other. But that's probably a subject for another day. But I don't think
we'll do that on another day. That sounds fine. I tell you what, let's do this. Let's go to break, Hal Van Herkey. And when we come back, let's address this issue of the forced minimum wage and what that does to small business. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, Hal Van Herkey. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you. to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice out there, to help you get your brains around these issues so that you can converse with your friends and your family and your colleagues, because we are in an epic battle of ideas in our country right now. I get to work with some really great sponsors, and one of those is Hal Van Herke. He and Linnea Van Herke, they're entrepreneurs. They have a family-owned business in Sedalia, Colorado, Castlegate Knife and Tool. Hal, it's great to have you. It's always great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's great to be here, and we enjoy supporting your work and participating in this and the opportunity to get to talk every now and then.
Well, people reach out to me and they say that they learn so much from our conversations. And I know that we're going to expand on one that we had recently regarding the forced minimum wage. Those that are advocate for that, they try to pull on the heartstrings and make people think that forcing a minimum wage is compassionate, a living wage. They use that word, a living wage. The implication is that the other is not a living wage, obviously. So walk us through this, how it is not compassionate and what it does to small business.
Yeah. And so what we were talking about in the previous segment, is kind of, I was kind of laying the foundation about why, in eliminating some of the, in advance, some of the arguments that the left makes about why it's okay to do a forced minimum wage. But, you know, what we talked about so far is that the vast majority of us don't know anything about small business. Unless we've owned a small business, everything we think we know about small businesses either come from Hollywood or from the media, and we know how well that works out in other aspects of life. So you got to start off from realizing that you probably don't know much about small business unless you've owned it. Even if you've worked in one, you probably don't know what the owner's going through on a daily basis. We don't teach it in business schools. We certainly don't teach it to politicians or the media. The average small business is very small. They make less than 6% profit a year. They have less than a few months of cash in the bank. And what that means, for example, is if they have $1 million in revenue and they're not having to reinvest in the business, the most they're making is $60,000 a year out of that business, which is not making them rich by any stretch of the imagination. So they have to decide what to do with that 6%, to take it home, to feed their family, to invest in their business, or to put it away as cash. And so as a result, the average small business only has a few months of cash. So when we started seeing these shutdowns because of COVID, we saw a lot of the small businesses falling very rapidly. Now, a large mega corporation probably has months, if not years, of cash in advance and access to extremely complicated financing and refinancing, right, from Wall Street, et cetera. Small businesses had access to none of that, so they could only rely on their cash reserves, their personal savings, and their credit cards. So, you know, we saw a lot of the small businesses falling by the wayside rapidly. And so this is all by way of saying, you know, fundamentally, a small business owner only has a few ways to react when they are forced to raise the wages for their employees. They just don't have many options available to them. So let's say I'm a retailer, and let's say, just to keep the numbers simple, let's say, you know, minimum wage was $10 an hour, and now the government comes and tells me that I have to pay everybody $15 an hour. Well, if I'm a retailer, for example, and just about everything that we consume in the United States passes through either a brick-and-mortar retailer or an online retailer to get to you, everybody knows that retail jobs are not the highest paying jobs on the planet. And most of those retail jobs are at or near minimum wage. And then they move up from there. So if I'm paying my entry level, that's my entry level brand new workers minimum wage, and tomorrow I have to raise their price, their salaries up to $15. That also increases the amount of taxes that I have to pay to the government that the employee never sees and people forget about as well. But then the additional impact of that is it's not just that I have to raise it for my brand new in training workers or my brand or the lowest level, but I have to raise that now, that salary, to everybody, sure, in my business, because, right, I still have to have room to reward my long-term employees who've been there. Maybe they were making $15 an hour. Now they have to make $20 an hour. The assistant manager has to make, you know, more than that. The manager has to make more than that. And so it raises the salaries of everybody in my business. And as we were talking about previously, I have no place to go with that. I can't just absorb that into my profit because I'm not making enough profit. If I, you know, I'm only making 60 grand a year as it is, and if I have enough employees, that was just, you just raised my cost by over 60 grand a month. So it's impossible for me to absorb that. I have to pass it on. And so one of the biggest comments I hear from the left all the time is that they're like, oh, this big business will just absorb it, or the investors will just take a hit on that. Well, that's true for large business, for mega corporations, only in the short term. That always levels out as well. But it's absolutely not true for the vast majority of small businesses and mid-sized businesses that employ the vast majority of Americans in this country. So all I have to do is I have two choices. I can either raise my prices instantly because I don't have enough cash to cover even this next month's payroll if it raised substantially. So I have to raise my prices instantly, or I have to either stop hiring or lay off people to reduce my costs. And that's fewer jobs that impacts everybody in the economy. And it's also poorer service as you walk into my business. So in this attempt to be compassionate and raise the minimum wage, all you've done is reduce jobs and you've increased the prices for every retail business that everybody in the country engages with instantaneously. And so the prices go up and largely offset, if not entirely offset, the increased wage that you just forced on everybody. So all the consumers, everybody, all of us that are, you know, out there with this new increased wage now, we're right back where we started from because all of our prices have increased. And so our purchasing power is exactly the same as it was before the increase. All that's happened is everybody's paying more now. We're getting paid more, but we're paying more now. But we're right back where we started from. And the only entity that benefits from this raise in minimum wage is the government, because the government gets to charge everybody, both you and me as a business owner, more taxes on our wages. Everybody else is right back to where they started. The government is enriching their coffers. And so that's a fundamental aspect of why forced minimum wage is so popular on the left, because it's a hidden tax increase for the government. It's more control to the government, and it's part of this ongoing assault on small business in favor of large corporations and government control.
Well, I wanted to mention one other thing, Hal, about that entrepreneur, that small business person that may have $1 million in revenue, but after all expenses, paying their people, they only are taking home possibly maybe $60,000. The other thing is they're typically not working a 40-hour work week and having vacation days throughout the year as well. Typically, your small business entrepreneurs work many, many hours each week to make everything work. And I think that's another fallacy that people don't understand.
Yeah, we think of business owners as like Scrooge McDuck or something. I don't know other examples, or something we learned from The Simpsons or whatever, where it's this rich old person in a room counting their coins and scheming of how they can screw their employees. But that's just a fantasy from Hollywood and from the left. The average person is just working their butt off trying to survive just like everybody else. And, it's only until you get to be what I would call a mid-sized business where you can even possibly dream of having that. And the only way you get to that level is you either inherited that business or you have a successful a successful Silicon Valley startup, or you've spent years and years and years building your business up to that point and you're working, 24/7. My wife and daughter are on vacation right now. I'm sitting here working because I have a business to run. So, that's just normal for every small business owner sitting there listening to this would say, so? That's just normal. You work every day. The only benefit of it is that it feels better than working for somebody else, because you're doing what you love and you're doing something that eventually you hope will improve the future for your family, et cetera.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about talking about capitalism, not cronyism, but capitalism. And that is a small business that somebody comes up with an idea and they go into the marketplace. And the marketplace is ruthless. The marketplace will tell you if it is a good idea or a bad idea immediately. But you come to the marketplace with an idea, for example, Castlegate Knife and Tool. And, of course, your story on how you founded that I find so fascinating. Let's see how much time we've got. maybe about 5 minutes. I know people would love to hear that. Why don't you tell that again, Hal?
Okay. Well, it just started off as in my youth as kind of a love for knives. My a really fond memory I have with my dad is when he wanted to go buy me a Cub Scout knife, and my mom was dead set against it because she didn't think I was old enough. So my dad snuck us off on a Saturday and went shopping with just the guys and bought me my first pocket knife, which I still have. And, again, bought me my first fixed blade knife when I got older and taught me how to use it, taught me how to be safe with it, taught me how to sharpen it. So I have, fond memories of spending time and camping and doing things with my dad that's associated with that. And as I got older and was looking, had gone through many years in corporate America, which is why I can speak to both sides of this business stuff. I worked as a corporate executive. I worked as a small business owner most of my life. As I was actually sitting in Japan and working for a very large multinational corporation, and I started getting interested in Japanese samurai swords. And that led to me meeting some of the top sword makers in Japan, who naturally introduced me to a couple of the best knife makers in Japan. And so as I moved back to the U.S., those knife makers introduced me to several of the best knife makers in the U.S. and around the world, and helped me forge relationships with people who really didn't need another reseller or somebody promoting their knives because they were so successful. But cut me a break as I was coming back to start my business. And that's basically, in a short nutshell, that's how we got started. And so it was just starting off from a love of family and from, memories of my dad and from knives and then experiences I had overseas and then getting lucky that people who owned their own small businesses and understood what it was like, made introductions all over the globe for us and helped us get in business.
Well, and you have an extensive inventory. I really recommend that people go down to Sedalia. And Sedalia, I love it. It's a little taste of Americana. And actually visit your physical store. They can always shop at castlegate.com online as well. But you have this idea. You put your heart, your soul, your money into it. You're making a bet that people will value that enough that they will buy your product or buy your service. And if a lot of people buy your product or buy your service and you get rich, I say good for you. But unfortunately, the left is that is a ideology of envy. And they look at it as you got rich because you took something from somebody. And granted, there's a few people out there that they do that. But by and large, the American entrepreneur is somebody that is providing a product that people want. And as I said, if a lot of people want it and are willing to share or trade their hard-earned dollars for it, you get rich. And I say, good for you.
Yeah, and it's that's just always baffling to me. But that, the left is an ideology of envy in many respects. But the average small business owner who does get to the point where they're finally, quote unquote, rich, they made it big or they have a very comfortable lifestyle, they did it through years of sacrifice. They did it at the expense of doing other things that they could have been doing. They could have been out on the lake. They could have been fishing. They could have been hiking. They could have been doing whatever, partying. But instead, they were working their butt off in their business. And they managed to slowly scrap stuff together, avoid the government shutting them down, put money aside for years and years and years, and save that up and grow their business. And the money they make, they keep reinvesting. And it's not just about, like you said, it's not just about the fact that they put in that effort. They're taking enormous risk. They're taking the opportunity cost that they could have had with a stable, steady job. They're taking most businesses are funded either from equity from their house or from personal savings or from credit cards that they're personally responsible for, even if the business fails. So and then a lot of these do fail. So what the left doesn't understand and they don't factor in is that hard work, the creativity, the value that's created for society, the risk that those people took. And there's a fundamental principle in finance that in order to make an investment, if it's the more risk there is, the more upside potential there needs to be for that risk to make sense. And so take away all the people who failed and they lost all of those savings, you add that all up, and that's everything it took to create that one person who finally made it big and who everybody on the left looks at with envy and disgust, and it's just not right. It's just it's that desire is what built this country. It's what built Western civilization. Those people who started their businesses and failed, they're not looking at that person with greed and envy. They're looking at that person with admiration and probably gearing up to try again with their next business. So it's only the left that has this phenomenon of not understanding business at all, not caring, and believing that all of that hard work somehow translates into greed.
Well, and I think it's really greedy that you would want to take something that somebody else has earned. And so the left, we look at our tax code. If you do become wealthy, then they want to tax that. They want to tax more and more of that. But if you take a risk and you lose, you don't see them coming in with wanting to help pay that off. And I've always thought that that was interesting. What's your final thought on all this, Hal Van Herky?
I think my final thought is, small business makes our world go around. The vast majority of people that we know in our lives work for small business. Many of our friends and family owners, we know people who own small business. And it's not what it portrays in Hollywood. It's not what the media or the politicians would make you think. It is the backbone of our economy. It's one of the key founding principles of our country and as a Western civilization. It's what made a lot of the lifestyle and the innovations and the wealth that we have and that we all enjoy as a country is the most prosperous country in history. A lot of that is due to small business, and we need to band together to educate the left and to come together against this constant onslaught of against small business that the large government left is constantly perpetuating.
Well said, Hal Van Herky. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Thomas Sowell, and he says, "Much of the social history of the Western world over the past three decades has been a history of replacing what worked with what sounded good." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.